Join me if you would, please, in Philippians chapter 4. I had given to the gentleman upstairs to begin at verse 5, but if you don't mind, I'm going to back up to verse 2. You don't have it upstairs, so just hang on, and I'll get to where you see there on the projection. But I'd like to back up to verse 2 to bring the full context back into play in our discussion. Hear the inerrant, infallible word of the living and holy, righteous God. Paul writes, I entreat Euodia, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I do pray the Lord would add his blessing to his most holy word. As we consider these verses here in chapter 4, it may seem that Paul is just randomly addressing unrelated topics. Looking back at verses 2 and 3, which I just read, he says, I call on Euodia and Syntyche to resolve your differences. Well, here it seems he's addressing forgiveness, love, possibly. Then in verse 4, as we discussed last week, he's calling on everybody to rejoice. Here in verse 5, we see him talking about reasonableness. Then he speaks about anxiousness and prayer and being thankful. Then in verse 7, he speaks of peace and understanding, guarding your heart. Again, it almost seems like just this shotgun approach to different items, different topics. However, I would give you that when we look closer and take an overall look at what Paul is teaching, I hope we can see some resemblance to what Paul has taught in other places. I hope to point out this morning that Paul is giving some very practical instruction. This whole section is just very practical instruction, teaching based on a text that he had given in another passage, which I will bring to hear you just in a moment. And as a matter of fact, if you would, go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Remembering those scattered topics I just gave you in Philippians 4. Now we go back to Galatians chapter 5. I'll begin at verse 16, but then jump to verse 22. Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16, Paul writes, he says, I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In other words, be led by the Spirit. Live your life under the guidance of the Spirit. Then move to verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, and let me draw your attention to singular fruit. So many times we think that is plural. It is not. If we think it's plural, we might deceive ourselves and say, well, I have the love, joy, and peace, but don't speak to me about patience. No, it's singular, a fruit which bears itself out in these several facets. The Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So when Paul speaks of the fruit singularly, the Christian walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, should exhibit each and every one of those. All right, now go back to Philippians 4. Here we see in Philippians 4, Paul is giving very practical instruction, expounding what he has given us in the fruit of the Spirit. So here Paul is saying in Philippians 4, this is what it looks like physically to walk in the Spirit. Back in Philippians 4, the issue between Euodia and Syntyche, do we not see Paul calling on them to exhibit love, peace, patience, kindness, self-control? Again, in verse 4, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Well, to do that, we need to have peace within ourselves through the presence of the Spirit and also the faithfulness in what's being taught to us. Being joyful also, we need to have self-control, a fruit of the Spirit. And as we said last week, being joyful is sometimes a matter of how we think. So do we control, being self-controlled, do we control our thinking, directing our thoughts toward the things of God and finding that joy in our circumstance? Remember last week I said we could get so bogged down looking downward into our circumstance when we should be controlling our thinking and thinking on those things of God. Being self-controlled, controlling our thinking based on what we've been taught. Then in verse 5, it said, let your reasonableness be known. Now, reasonableness means gentle. And I'll get much deeper in that just in a moment. Gentle, a fruit of the Spirit. Again, the correlation. In verse 6, he says, do not be anxious. All right? Not being anxious means that we are exhibiting a fruit of the Spirit, peace, self-control. Again, all fruit of the Spirit. Then Paul in Philippians 4 sums up a portion of this by saying, let the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds. Meaning, let the peace of God through the Holy Spirit bring you that peace and give you the strength to live and to walk in the way of the Spirit. And this can easily be seen as a summation of the fruit of the Spirit we saw in Galatians chapter 5. If we are walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, revealing that fruit in our lives, we will at the same time be obedient to what Paul is giving us here in Philippians chapter 4. And this is not some shotgun approach by Paul. No. The fruit of the Spirit are these things. Now here are some things we can do exhibiting that fruit practically and personally in our lives. Each is related to the larger call to walk, live, being led by the Spirit. Now, a side note here, and this helps us with our Bible study skills, etc. What we see here is the thing we depend on so very much, interpreting Scripture, is letting Scripture do that, interpret Scripture. One Scripture, one teaching, explaining the other. Through one author, Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, we see the teaching in Philippians that supports what Paul is giving us over here. What does it mean to be self-controlled? Well, here in Philippians 4, he's given some examples. What does it mean to be gentle? Well, we might have an idea of what that means, but I'm about to give you today a much deeper understanding, I hope, about what it means to be gentle. So let's dig into there. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. I'm going to take just one verse today, verse 5. And again, it says, Paul says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone, for the Lord is at hand. This word reasonableness is a very tricky word. But we need to understand it. We need to understand. We need to dig in and understand what it means. It means to be forbearing, which is to bear with one another, being patient. Possibly reducing your expectations for the good of the situation. Some will use the phrase, let your gentleness be known. Some of your translations may have that phrase, gentleness. Well, again, if we don't understand what gentleness means in its full, we might be not necessarily misled, but not understand the depth. And this phrase, let your gentleness be known, is where a little bit of this trickiness and this confusion comes in. Being gentle means to be mild and to be humble. But gentle also has its origin in the same word we use for meekness. And meekness is a gentle strength. Meekness is having a power, yet knowing when not to use it. Meekness is having a power, yet holding back when it's time, when it's needed. And here's where that phraseology crosses the line from being that mild, gentle, humble person into being a powerful person, yet knowing when to withhold it. And we hold our power, we act our meekness, we are reasonable with others. We may have the power, we may have the authority, but for the good of the circumstance, for the good of the ministry, Paul says to hold back and give priority to the other. In context, being reasonable means that we have no spirit of contention. We have no desire to be self-serving. It means to forbear and to give up your position. It means to endure and to tolerate, to be patient, to give up that power, as I've said, to benefit the circumstance. Perhaps these two quarreling ladies that we read of, Euodia and Syntyche, were standing on their own perceived rights rather than being very reasonable to the other. Paul is gently urging all parties involved to demonstrate that forbearance, that fruit of the Spirit, being gentle. But being gentle is mild and humble, yes. But it also means I recognize the power, the authority I have. But given the situation, it might be better for me at this time to back off and not work to have Tim's way. Reasonable, forbearing. Very practical teaching using the fruit of the Spirit as a backdrop. So why do we need to do this? Why do we need to be reasonable? Why do we need to be forbearing with one another? Well, first and foremost, being reasonable, forbearing, is to be like Jesus. It is to be like Jesus. And is that not what our sanctification is all about? Growing to be more and more like Christ? Well, here's a place to forbear, to be reasonable, to be patient, understanding the power and the authority. Do you understand? And I know you all in the room do and out in the parking lot. Do you understand the power Jesus had standing before Pilate? Do you understand the power he had hanging on that cross? But he used none of it. Because for the circumstance, what was needed at that time was for him to back up. So forbearing, reasonableness is to be like Christ. Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, I entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now, gentleness is our word, but as I've said earlier, meekness has a close parallel. The Corinthians at this time for Paul were a very bold and pushy people. They did not buy Paul's apostolic position. They did not buy him being a preacher, a speaker for God. Now, if necessary, Paul would go to Corinth, but they tried to kill him already one time, so he really didn't want to go. But he would go and express his authority to these domineering folks in the church. But rather, he first wrote them the letter. We have a 2 Corinthians. And he appeals to them to act in their meekness, to be gentle and to be forbearing with one another, just like Jesus. And Jesus did not assert, as I said, he did not assert his rights as God. He put them away. That's what Paul teaches. If we want to be like Jesus, we must not fight for our rights. but graciously yield to other for the good of the ministry or simply for the good of the relationship. Being reasonable. Secondly, being reasonable helps us with that joyfulness as we spoke of last week. Being reasonable towards others helps build our joy. Often when our joy is disturbed by people doing us wrong or people saying, you know, he has no right to treat me this way. I'm not going to let him get away with that. Well, if we're working in that position, then are we being very reasonable? If I'm working out of my rights, trying to get my way, then that may be a sure sign I'm working from a very self-righteous, self-serving position. You know what she said to me? I'm not going to let her get away with that. Well, I'm sorry your feelings got hurt, but you need to get up, get over it. Thirdly, why do we need to be forbearing? In mid portion of that verse, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Reasonableness, forbearing will bear fruit with others. And he says, let that be known to all. Again, forbearing means that we're not easily offended. This whole thing is not about us. The ministry here at this church is not about me. We graciously give others the benefit of the doubt. We let everyone see. We don't jump to conclusions. We don't try to be understood above all things, getting our way, exhibiting love rather than that pridefulness of self. Paul writes in the love chapter, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And so we should let everyone see that. Fourthly, reasonableness is a witness to Jesus Christ. As I said, being reasonable is to be like Christ. And so if we're reasonable to the world, letting everybody see that, we bring Christ. We've just celebrated Easter and remembering his crucifixion during his trial. He said very little, if anything at all. Back in chapter 2, Paul told us to do all things without grumbling or disputing so that we might shine as lights of the world. So that reasonableness, that nature of not putting forth self is completely in opposition to many ways in the world. Again, Paul says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Please notice he didn't say only to your church family. He didn't say only to your family at home. He said to everyone. And remember, we are bearing witness. We go out of our way to show others that we are gracious, forgiving, patient. And again, this quality is so unlike the world's way that we stand out as distinct and have opportunities to witness. And what do we show the world outside these walls in the conduct of our lives as we're out in public? I remember a young man as I was in seminary and I was standing behind him checking out in the bookstore, and they had the little fish decal over here on the left that you stuck on the back of your car. I don't see so many of those anymore. And the attendant asked him, said, you want to buy a fish to put on the back of your car? And he said, no. I don't want people to know if I'm speeding down the highways. I don't want them to know. I kind of moved away. I thought, dude, why are you here? Have you ever run into someone from our church family out at a restaurant, out shopping, or just somewhere out away from church? And most of us have always, you know, we run into, especially Food Line. We're going to rename that, New Sterling's Food Line. But we do. We run out to folks in the conduct of world, business. Have you ever been taken aback by actions or words when they didn't get what they ordered, or it was cold when it showed up. They didn't get the full attention of the attendant at the store. And they lash out, raising their voices, demanding. And in some of it's to the point it just almost startles you, and you kind of go, that's not who I thought I knew. And you go out and you get in the car, and it's got the fish on the back of the car. Again, Paul says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That means to the person who cuts you off on the interstate. I have to remember my dad. Him pulling me water skiing so many times when I was younger. And someone would get too close to Timmy, and he'd chase them down. And I'm still on the skis. Daddy! I hung on, man. My daddy was not a believer when I was at home. He was and is and enjoying heaven now. But to all of those things out there, let your reasonable be known, because we are witnesses of Christ. And here's the thing. We need to be those witnesses all the time to everyone, especially during the hard times, especially during the trials. People, when you get hurt, when you're offended, someone mistreats you, they expect you to lash out. They expect you to respond. No? No? And why must we do these things? Why must we be reasonable to everyone all the time? The end of verse 5, chapter 4 of Philippians. The Lord is at hand. Now, there's a little bit of a debate here. Exactly what is Paul meaning? There's two ways that predominantly become part of the discussion. One is that we should look at this statement, the Lord is at hand, as speaking of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is true. He is one day. But if we look at this as the second coming, then we must also know that Jesus could come back at any time. And so therefore, we should live our lives daily expectantly that he would return as our Savior and Judge. This, in fact, should create that gentleness, that forbearance in us, because if he comes back now, he wants us to see us living our lives as we have been taught, as we have been given. Also, he can be that, is going to be that judge of our actions. So it can be that Paul is saying that, you know, Jesus is returning anytime. But secondly, and I kind of put my chips in this barrel more, Paul is speaking, could be speaking of Jesus being with the Christian, with the person presently. Right now. The Lord is at hand now. Because when Jesus began preaching to in his early parts of the ministry, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand, which means him coming brought the kingdom of heaven into this realm. And so I believe in my mind, this is what Paul is doing, that Jesus Christ, through the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, is here now, with us now. And so let us be reasonable now, because Jesus is here as our witness. And just as Jesus was gentle and patient, giving up that power for the betterment, we should as well. We should be Jesus Christ to this world, to your family, to your workplace, to your school, at McDonald's, Walmart, the interstate. We are Jesus. And for some out in our community, out in our world, we may be the only Jesus likeness they have ever seen. And the Lord may use that encounter to be the thing that initiates the salvation for that person. Our actions sometimes speak louder than our words. Paul says, let your reasonableness be known, for the Lord is at hand. Yes, the Lord is with us. Therefore, let us be that light of the gospel all the time. Being reasonable, forbearing, gentle, patient, tolerant. Because it is a proof of our salvation as we walk in the fruit, walk in the Spirit, bearing fruit. Walk in the Spirit as we live our lives. Amen. Amen.